The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. At the synagogue in Nazareth, a young rabbi read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." When he had finished reading, the young teacher rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down to preach. The theme of his sermon? "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Thus we have it on the best of all authorities that our reading from Isaiah this morning concerns the one about whom the baptizer witnessed, Jesus. Jesus is the servant of the Lord who fulfilled the prophecies of Isaiah, and of Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Micah, and Zechariah, and Malachi, and all the rest. Jesus is the one through whom the love and mercy of God has been revealed even more, enacted, fulfilled. The people who first heard Isaiah's message concerning the one whom the Lord would anoint had a difficult time of it because of their sin, because they trusted their wisdom instead of the Lord's word and promises. Because they loved themselves at the expense of their neighbors, because they took advantage of the poor and needy, rather than helping them. Because of these things, they had seen their nation invaded, their magnificent capital, Jerusalem, besieged and overrun. The Holy Temple, the place where the Lord had provided for the sacrifices that would bring them forgiveness and his favor, looted and destroyed. As Isaiah's contemporary Hosea had it, they had sown the wind and thus were reaping the whirlwind. The Lord had released on them his righteous wrath, and their place and their nation were gone. In exile in Babylon, they could only remember and mourn. They were helpless and without hope, and they knew that it was entirely their fault. Their sin had caused them this catastrophe. But the Lord had a word for them in their devastation. This wasn't the end for them. They had something to which they could look forward. For the Lord had chosen and equipped a servant to reverse their circumstances. His task would be to bring good news to the poor, comfort to the brokenhearted, release to the captives. He would open prison doors. They had experienced, and indeed, as Isaiah proclaimed these words, were still experiencing the Lord's wrath. But a change was in the offing. They were about to know the Lord's favor. His vengeance would no longer be directed at them, but rather at those who oppressed and afflicted them. Their mourning would be replaced with gladness and rejoicing. No longer would they be regarded as having been cast off, abandoned by the Lord. Instead, they would be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, in whom he would be glorified. Because of the Lord's mercy and grace, they would even see their homes rebuilt and their cities restored. The psalmist captures just how astonishing the reversal the Lord would accomplish in their lives would be. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. It would be so wonderful in that day as to be practically unbelievable. It would seem like a dream. But it wouldn't just be a dream. All of this would be part of the coming of the Lord's anointed one. All of this will be part of the coming of the Lord's anointed one. Our circumstances, after all, are not all that different from those endured by the nation of Judah in exile in Babylon. This is a recurring theme in St. Paul's letters. He describes all who follow Christ as resident aliens here on earth. Your true home, mine, is not here. It is with God in paradise. Just as the Lord cast out Adam and Eve from the garden because of their sin, so also because of our sins, we are separated from God. Of course, there aren't any Babylonians who hold us captive and torment us. But in their place, we have the devil, this sinful world, and even our own fallen nature that similarly oppress us and seek to keep us separated from the Lord. As we confess, we have sinned against God and cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Yet in our helplessness, the Lord's anointed one proclaims good news. News of the Lord's favor, of the liberty and redemption and forgiveness and restoration he has accomplished for us. In our depth of degradation, he had mercy so that we might be saved eternally. As the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus has taken away your sin on his cross. He has redeemed you, purchased and won you from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. And not only has he taken away your sin, he has made you a member of his own family through holy baptism, so that you are an heir with him of eternal life. Even today, he is at work through his word, correcting and rebuking, forgiving and comforting, also in the Holy Supper, strengthening, forgiving, and sustaining you. All of this so that you stand firm in the faith until he calls you home. This is what St. Paul had in mind in writing. Now may the God of all peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Know that this is no mere pious wish. Because of the Lord's promise, and based on the long record of his interaction with his people, St. Paul can conclude with confidence, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is coming, just as St. Paul has written. He has made an everlasting covenant with his penitent and believing people. They, you and I, are God's children. When he comes, he will gather us together, and we will be with the Lord forever. Because of all this, you and I have ample cause to join in the prophet's words of thanks and praise. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride ordains herself with her jewels. In baptism, God clothed you with Christ. The Lord has covered you with his perfect righteousness. There is therefore now no condemnation for you in Jesus Christ. His blood and his righteousness make you beautiful in God's sight, glorious, without any spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Holy and without blemish. In the Holy Church, you are clothed in beauty, prepared as a guest of honor for the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. Jesus the bridegroom, the church his bride. So as you await the return of the Lord's anointed, the day of salvation, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations for the good of his people and for the glory of his name. The Lord has spoken. It is surely true. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please pray. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.